Okay, kids.
Good day.
There's been an awakening.
I'm going to put that at the beginning of now.
No, I'm
not. Perfect.
Hello, what have we here?
These guys are so funny.
Hello.
I do feel like I'm closer to the edge. Because I'm at the corner.
Closer to the edge.
Hello there.
Close to the edge.
Where's Fred, dude?
Remember?
May the force be with us. Fucking A.
Good day, gals. Say Rogue Squad. I'm back at it again. I am Mobar.
We're back. It's real. It's happening. Live. And in jive.
Less of that.
Mobar walked into the basement. I almost said studio, but into the basement. It was like, I don't know what to talk about. I don't have anything. I didn't watch anything. I didn't do anything. I feel like this
There's
is the
a lot
longest
of trailers,
list that I've had for a show in a while.
Yeah.
And, of course, the week that you don't watch anything. Because here we are.
I've seen a lot of those trailers. The big one for me was The Joker 2. I did watch it. I don't know if I watched the most recent Deadpool 3 trailer, but I did watch one of them. So
yeah.
We can discuss.
Yeah, I got like Marvel Rivals on here, Deadpool 3, Joker 2, Star Wars Outlaws, Fallout, the mm-hmm. show came out on Amazon, Tales of the Empire, Phantom Menace is coming back in theaters, we saw BT Bam, and Interstellar is also coming back in theaters. So that's what's on the list, which we probably will get to three of those things and then forget about the rest.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine.
What?
Yeah.
So what's been your freaking brain the past couple weeks if you haven't watched anything? You've been just totally out to lunch?
Yeah, I kind of just shut it all down, man. Tired. Well, and honestly, I had like three back-to-back events, including the BT Bam stuff, that just wore me the fuck out. I got sick like 3 days before we left.
Oh, really? I was sick, too. I almost canceled.
Well, you were sick. Yeah, I had either it was food poisoning or some crazy flu. I was out for the count for like 48 hours. Yeah. I couldn't. I was sexually stuck in a hotel. I don't mean to fucking get
sexually stuck in a hotel.
I was stickly stuck to the bed. No. It was that, and I didn't have time to like recoup. And then we went to BT Bam in Denver, which was like 48 hours back to back to back.
Yeah, fly-in's never good for you when you're sick either.
We just didn't sleep at all that whole trip. So I
slept a little bit.
I'm getting back.
I get it. You got to recover.
And it reminds me that thank God I don't fucking drink anymore because it's like I've had 2 weeks of hangover and I don't drink. That's how I felt.
Just general adult sick hangover.
Yeah, you're just dude, fuck.
Just living, man. Makes you hungover. Just
coasting. Yeah, I think the allergy season's slowly creeping in, so it's like you got that haze that goes over everything.
Dude, yeah, we're in that Ohio weather where we go from 30 to a beautiful 70-degree day and then back to like 30, and it's just totally wreaking havoc on my sinuses.
Yeah. So
I was sick for a while, and then it was better, and then I woke up today, and now I'm like, you can hear my voice. I need to have a cough drop.
You can hear my voice.
This is how I sound. So that's what's up. Denver was cool. BT Bam was cool. It's fun.
Denver's nice. Yeah.
Denver, yeah, it's great. Nicer than, I've been there 4 or 5 times, and I've always loved it, but it felt nicer and cleaner than every other time I've been there, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like the spot that we ended up. It was like downtown, middle of downtown.
Yeah,
it was nice to be like not right next to the venue, but a little,
yeah, smidgen.
Smidgen. So, Star Wars Outlaws, what the fuck?
Dude, all I hear is people complaining about the look of the protagonist. That's the only thing I've seen.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know. They're pissed. Nothing from our group, obviously. I'm just talking about, like, I'll scroll through YouTube trying to watch something and be like, fans hate Star Wars Outlaws. Like the thumbnail, you know what I mean?
Why?
I just scroll past it. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She just looks like a chick.
She's just a, yeah. I almost said, she's a dude.
She's just a dude.
She's just an average dude, man.
Whatever.
I'm a dude. We're all dudes, hey. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what the deal is with people being grumpy. They're probably just always grumpy. I think it looks pretty cool.
I'm hesitant. I'm not going to lie. The story looked interesting with all the syndicates or whatever getting together.
Bounty hunters during the Empire era is definitely like good territory.
Yeah, because they're that third faction.
Yeah.
that can really fuck things up if they wanted to. If they could just get all their heads on the same post. But I don't know. It does kind of seem cliche.
Ubisoft
cliche, as well. I guess, is what I want to say. Is like, sure, she's going to be the, you know, rough and tumble. I'm not going to lean one way or the other, but I'm not going to fly straight, but I'm going to do my thing. And I'm going to end up doing the right thing at the end. And you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, like fucking Iden Versio.
Yeah.
We never heard a story from the bad guy's point of view. Two missions in, I'm with the rebels now.
Yeah, that's how I feel it's going to go.
Like that, yeah.
It's going to be a Han Solo-esque.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't follow the rules, but also...
When it comes, like, push comes to shove, you go with the rebels.
He doesn't follow the laws, but he follows moral rules. Yeah. He has a moral compass.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how most bounty hunters are.
Which is, you know, that's a good kind of character.
That's kind of what we...
Archetype.
They've shoved down Boba's throat in his show, too.
Yeah, and even people like Jin and Cassian, same kind of thing.
Yeah, see, that's what I was trying to go for. It's just like a generic, like you could take and plug and play any one of those like seven people and it would still be the same game. Am I excited? I mean, the gameplay looks fine. It didn't blow me away. It looked good.
The first trailer I thought was a little more interesting where you could see her kind of going crawling through the end of a mission, get to the ship, take off and go into space all like... There's no loading
like
screen.
Like Starfield?
Like all in one green. Yeah, the opposite of Starfield. Like all in one like fell swoop, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
I don't love these types of games, like the action-adventure, Assassin's Creed, Uncharted and stuff.
Exactly where I was going.
Yep. I appreciate them. Like I know Uncharted is like one of the best games ever. Like visually it's cool. Story-wise it's cool. It's not my favorite type of game. So like I'm kind of like, this looks cool, but I'm hesitant as hell. Especially with, in general, video games at large these days. I'm just like, wait a couple weeks and watch the reviews and see how it turns out. You know what I mean?
This does not want to pay full price on.
I don't
want to
make
premium.
The mistake of Battlefront Classic Collection like we just did 3 weeks ago. And buy it and play it for 2 hours and
dude,
never touch
Star Wars Outlaws?
Should be awesome.
I have a feeling it's going to be a Star Wars Squadrons game. Where it's going to hit and it's going to be like... This is decent. And then 3-4 months from now, you're not going to hear fucking thing.
Yeah.
I don't think Squadrons is even live anymore. That's how short-lived that game was. Like, it's hard to even find matches.
That's interesting.
People just, like,
I haven't followed up on it at all, yeah.
I think it was too close to, like, a flight simulator. Like, there was too much to do. It was interesting.
To control the ship, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't...
You got to make it a little easier. Like, yeah. I get the details... Because that's what Star Wars is. A lot of it is about.
Yeah.
But, like, just let me flip a switch and have shields instead of, like, having to level my shields versus my power versus my lasers. And, oh, shit, I also have to fucking fly. Isn't that why I hire a Chewie to
exactly.
do all these button mashing shits?
Yeah, it's weird because it's, like, it's probably the closest we've ever been, might ever will be, to how it probably feels to fly in Star Wars.
Yeah.
But it's so close and so realistic that I'm like, it's too much now. I can't do it. It needs
it's
to be
no longer,
more fantasy.
It's no longer a game. I'm actually flying. And this is like, what the fuck am I doing right now?
I'm paying actual credits for fuel now. This sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Cashing out my savings account to get some more Dataries. Yeah, Squadrons. I lived in Squadrons for like 3 weeks, maybe max, and that was it.
Nah, I'm right there with you. I dropped it immediately.
How much money have I spent on games that I've played for like 3 hours?
A lot. A lot.
How many of them are Star Wars, I wonder?
A lot, man.
More than I would like to please.
This will be the last time I mention it, but Jedi Survivor is well worth it.
Yeah.
I am still at the last boss, but I'm telling you, it's well worth it, period.
Yeah. It's... I feel bad. It's on my list.
You know, the other thing...
I'm just getting grossed. I'm just all up Elden Ring's ass right now, and I can't pull myself away from it.
Yeah.
Like, just get in the zone, and I'm just, you know, soaking it up before I do get sick of it and then switch on to something else. But Survivor's probably going to be next, honestly.
It's fun.
While I'm in the zone, same kind of gameplay.
It has some twists and turns, and it has some revisits in certain aspects... That feel fucking
Darth Vader?
Brand new again. that feel fucking brand new again. And they do it in ways that you're like, oh, okay, okay, motherfucker. I see what you're doing. I see
what actually, you still do make stories in Star Wars. That's cool.
Doing the grand scheme of stuff, like when the first one, it was very limited. The second one kind of blew it wide open.
Yeah.
Like, you just come across stuff on planets. You're like, dude, I got to fight that? The fuck am I doing?
Dude, so what is... Let me get your thoughts on this. We probably talked about it kind of like in fits and starts, but maybe not fully on. I was excited when Disney started going past the films and started kind of opening it up to a bunch of different types of content. More books, and then they create the High Republic. They got the shows, they got the games, kind of, even though they've been lacking. I was excited at first because I want more Star Wars. Like, we always want more Star Wars. I feel like when you said, what did you just say? Something was memorable or wasn't memorable?
Squadrons wasn't memorable.
Doesn't feel memorable. I feel like Star Wars, the first six movies, always were memorable, no matter what. Even people fucking hating on the prequels, you remember it so well that you're hating on it. And you can't stop yourself. I feel like we're flooded with content, and it's so hard to make this volume of content and still keep everything memorable. And I think that's the problem. Like, the same thing that we saw with Marvel, probably.
Yeah, you get watered down if you do too much. But then again, man...
But if it was it's good...
I know if it's all old head in our heyday, but that, like, 03 to 07 run, all the books were fucking phenomenal. All the games were fucking phenomenal. All the movies were fucking phenomenal. Now, you're lucky if you get one out of those three.
That might be a little bit of nostalgia talking.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
But it was still there, and it was still fucking memorable, and I still went back and started reading the Clone Wars books, and they're still fucking great.
Yeah.
So when I go and read a new novel, and I don't give a flying fuck about it halfway through the... what are you doing? Why am I reading this?
Yeah.
It's... like...
I couldn't get into High Republic.
The High Republic shit.
I'm really hoping Acolyte makes me dig it. Sometimes I need to see something visually before I go and read the books. It just helps me kind of get the characters in my head. Oh, speaking of watching something before I read the books, I finally watched Dune.
The first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about it or we can talk about it later.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I have seen that.
Yeah, it was great.
It was fantastic. Fucking phenomenal.
I don't know why
it's right up your alley because it's a slow burn. But yeah. But there's like...
Space Game of Thrones.
You're kind of like along for the ride. Like it almost feels like you're with the family when they're like, you're not even an outsider watching. You're with them, and you're going to this planet, and you're like, well, what the fuck's gonna happen?
Yeah.
Well, no one around you knows either. You're just kind of going to this place and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa's right on your back, and you're like, what the fuck is happening? And then shit just keeps happening. I don't know. It's fun. I don't know.
It was great.
The unknown aspects does a lot for me. Like, because it deletes the preconceptions. Like, if you tell me, orphan, I'm like, oh, fucking Luke Skywalker, Harry Potter bullshit again. Okay.
Yeah.
I said one word and we're already, I have places we can go.
Yeah.
A family being planted into a new, first of all, in a galaxy I don't know, to a planet I don't know, with rules I don't know, with family hierarchy which I don't know, with this goddamn spice and I don't know, and I'm like, I'm just a sponge at that point.
Yeah,
throw whatever you want.
Yeah. The archetype's still there though. I mean, he is straight up orphan. It's Luke. It's Harry Potter. It's all those people. The kid. I mean, like that is like the main archetype. It's like you have all of your father's qualities and your mother's qualities, and you're the chosen one. It's going to bring them all together and fucking save the world. We've seen it 100 times, but I guess I was so pleased with Dune because it gives you the classic archetypes that you're used to, and it gives you all the world building of a place that you've never seen before. It gives you like the politics and relationships and like the family stuff and the tension that you need, and it was all just executed perfectly.
I'm going to throw my stake in the ground and tell you why.
Why?
Because it's made for adults.
Yeah, that's part.
I'm not fucking around. That's one huge downfall for Star Wars.
Yeah,
and it's coming from one of the biggest Star Wars fans. It's everything is tailored to kids.
Yeah,
and it always has. So there's a dumbed down aspect to every fucking thing you see, and that's what I was hoping from day one with Disney that they would, which is a long shot because it's fucking Disney. I get it. But they were doing other stuff with Marvel, and Marvel does have that little numbness of.
But now
they're not focused on adults.
But now that Disney is in charge of putting out Deadpool, I think that's going to shift a little bit.
Well, and
at least in the Marvel
Deadpool trailer was already talking shit to Disney.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and the second one, I don't know if you saw it, but it's basically making fun of the multiverse, and he's like, it's like Ryan Reynolds. It's like fourth wall weird shit.
Yeah,
like Ryan Reynolds is superimposing shots of other superheroes on top of footage from Deadpool 3.
Oh,
like making fun of Disney and Marvel's multiverse, even though he's in the movie. It's really, really weird fourth wall shit. I'm excited for that film.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get what you mean. It's like you can't... Some of the parts of Game of Thrones I love are like very, very complex, like political themes and sneak fucking cloak and dagger shit, which you can do a little bit with kids.
No, it's the mind games, man. It's the mind games that kids would not understand.
Yeah.
It's the leverages that you have over your enemies and your friends in Star Wars and outside Star Wars and in Game of Thrones that you just don't get.
Yeah. It's fucking good, dude.
I mean, we'll talk about it in a little bit about specifically about episode one, but episode one kind of shook that up a little bit too.
I think so, dude. I'm excited. We're talking with Revenge of the 90s later about Phantom Menace, since it's its 25th anniversary, and it's coming back in theaters. So we're going to chat with them on their pod about that.
I mean,
it's top of mind right now.
George Lucas, and this will be my launching point. I won't go fully down this because I do want to save it for them.
He's a bastard.
But George Lucas said from day one, Star Wars was for kids. But the original trilogy, the youngest person on screen is 18.
I don't know if you need kids in the movies for it to be about kids.
But I'm just saying sets a completely different tone if the main character's 18 or fucking 9.
That's true.
There's a very different tone.
Which I'm glad they didn't open Phantom Menace with Anakin. We don't see him until
instead we get Jar Jar
through. Yeah, Jar Jar's, not the best executed thing of all time. Failed Sith Lord.
I mean, I'll go down that path too, but.
Yeah,
we'll
I want to blow their minds with that Jar Jar theory and see how they take it.
Their minds will explode.
I believe it.
They'll 100%. Die.
I fully believe it. I mean, the kids thing is something that we've complained about in Star Wars before. I think there's a way to do it, and
I
don't know what the line is. It's not for kids. It's like ages 9 and up can probably still follow it and enjoy it and not be scared by it, but it's not
PG-13 level and up.
Was Dune R or PG-13?
I can't remember. Oh, I don't know.
I actually didn't even check.
Imagine with the amount of violence it has.
There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of creepy stuff. The voice that they tap into, his mom and him, is so fucking cool. That's one of the coolest little like sci-fi fantasy powers I've seen in anything in a recent
so long
recent memory. I texted this to the chat. I think when I watched, because I started doing, I watched like the first 40 minutes and then it was so late, I couldn't focus. So I like put it down for a week or two. I was like, we're seeing what was the original inspiration for Star Wars as a book come out as a movie 40 years after Star Wars.
Yeah.
So it influenced Star Wars. And now that it's a film, it's being influenced by how Star Wars was made.
Yeah.
That was like a mind fuck when I was like, I was thinking through that. Because obviously, Arrakis is Tatooine and Poe Dameron's son is Luke Skywalker and et cetera, et cetera.
Kind of.
What are your thoughts on that?
I disagree. Completely.
What?
It's weird.
Yeah, I feel like there's different tensions in Dune though. Like, Luke isn't invading this natural, community. I mean, if you want to argue Tuscans and that sort, maybe.
Well, I see what you mean. Like, going back to the it's dumbed down for kids is, obviously you see the book of Dune. It's, 1,000 fucking pages.
Yeah.
And the first part of the movie is just the first half of it, right? Or the first third of it. There's a lot going on there. There's like the families, the houses, the empire, the different planets, the political stuff, the indigenous culture.
God, I forgot
in
about
Star
the-
Wars. It's like it's just good guys and bad guys.
Yeah,
like the empire's bad and we're not.
You're never questioning. You never question that.
Right.
Who's good and who's bad.
Right.
The whole fucking way through until Vader at the end turns. But even then, you're like, he's dark, he's dark, he's dark.
That's the third movie.
Yeah. And now he's good.
Right. Yeah. Maybe a little bit at the end of Empire when he says he's Luke's dad. He's like, oh, well, maybe there's some weirdness going on.
It's a weird dynamic because when you do go back to 1, 2, and 3, that's what you expect out of Palpatine. But unfortunately, we already know.
Yeah.
Because he's playing the good guy.
Yeah.
But you're like, from day one, you're like, yeah, but don't trust that dude. And when Yoda's like, best friends we should be. And you're like, fucking, I thought, how many clouds? So many fucking overcasts on the force, bitch. You can't see shit.
Yeah. Our body with a chance of Sith Lords.
What's Mace say?
Our ability to use the force is diminished.
What?
That's like a...
Somehow Palpatine returned.
That's
that kind of line. Like, we got to explain this whole sudden change in the story. All right. He's just going to say it on screen. How did Palpatine come back? Palpatine returned.
Here he is.
Why is our vision clouded? Our vision's clouded.
Our vision's clouded. Stop squinting. Oh, shit.
Exactly. Use some glasses with the force.
Oh, man.
I think Phantom Menace looks a little different looking back on it. Because, like, one of the big complaints I know was a lot of, like, the political and the Senate stuff. I was like, isn't this for kids? It's, like, way over their heads. They're just talking in the courtroom or whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like now that we've been imbued with, like, Game of Thrones and everything, looking back at that, it's, like, it makes sense. At least, like, for an adult audience,
It's still dumbed down greatly, though.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's the issue. When we get to those adult themes, they should just go full bore.
They can't.
And that's what, and that's the shitty thing. And that's what I think actually the slight praise I'll give to Disney is the Queen Amidala books.
Because
you got definitely some tastes of like pressuring people into doing things that are bettering for you. Yeah.
You still got to get the job done.
The toying of people and even how Padme did it with her crew, and it was fun to see that actually in play, especially for a main character like Padme.
And that's literally like Luthen's entire character type.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is cool.
See, that's why we love Luthen, because he feels real.
Yeah.
Like he feels desperate. And that's when you get that whole speech when he's down on that fucking elevator floor or whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what? Well, I forget what there was a word. There was a word that he used.
Sacrifice. You have no idea what I've sacrificed.
You think you fucking sacrifice? I haven't had sex in 42 years. I even seen a tit.
I cut my dick off for this rebellion.
I cut my dick off.
How dare you?
Achuta.
Oh, man. No, that is one of the best scenes I've ever seen.
I want to watch it right now.
I know. I need to rewatch Andor so bad, man.
Because that's the closest thing we've got to full adult. There's not a single thing in that series that I would be like, oh, that's for sure for kids.
Right.
I feel like they put 2 feet into the...
And there were kids in that one. You see all those flashbacks with Cassie when he's a kid.
That's a valid point, but that was... Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah.
But not geared towards kids. It's like using his childhood as part of the storytelling.
Yeah, it's mirroring. This is where he's at, but this is how he got here. And then we'll keep going. Oh, by the way, this is a flashback to what happened previously in his life. That's why he's making this dumb decision now. I watched, on the flight back, I watched like the last hour of Rogue One.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Dude.
So good.
It's one of those... That last hour, honestly, the whole thing, but that last hour, man, they'd fucking just crank it all the way up. You get the Scarif battle is probably number one. I mean,
terms of all the movies battles?
Yeah. I think in true ground, artillery, and all this shit, the troop transport, stealth.
Not stealth.
The demolition shit.
Covert.
All of it.
Yeah.
It feels so right. And the cinematography of it, where it's, you're just kind of flying in and out. And everybody dies in such a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, the visuals and that's cinematography-wise one of the best movies I've ever seen.
And the craziest thing is, I know everybody's top-tier thing in that movie is the Vader hallway scene, but you could cut that out, and I would still fucking love that movie.
True.
I mean, it's not even close. I hate to say that. In Disney era, I mean, Solo's great in a similar way. But man, when we're talking grand scheme Star Wars, finally the bad guys lose.
Yeah.
And it really changes the whole trajectory of the OT. It's like retrofitting.
Yeah.
Because everybody's happy dancing, and then you go back and watch Andor or Rogue One, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. What had to happen to make them happy dance?
Exactly.
Or to allow them to happy dance with exactly. No consequences, yeah.
Just one off, many Bothans died, and you're like, the fuck does that mean? It's great, man.
It is great.
I don't think there's a single time I've watched the end of Rogue One and didn't start shedding a tear for K2. It's like losing a fucking
100%.
Puppy.
Yes.
Just the most loyal. And it doesn't just hit you once. Because then... what's the pilot?
Oh, Saw Gerrera.
No. What's the actual pilot's name?
Oh, sorry. Bodhi.
Bodhi. Bodhi finally plugs it in. And then he dies.
And then Chirrut and Baze.
And then Chirrut dies. And then Baze is just fighting for his life. And then he dies.
Little turtle
and
guy dies.
And then the bad guys lose too. Because Director Krennic gets shot with his own fucking gun. Because that's how the Emperor does it. Or the Empire does it.
Tarkin, yeah.
And then you get to watch the last two just fade into the light. And you're like, dude.
I know. That shot. What the fuck did I just watch? I know. It's incredible. It's astounding, really. It really is.
The craziest thing is this is all wrapped around a plot hole.
Right.
A physical hole, an exhaust port.
I wonder if that's where a plot hole originated.
I'm pretty sure it was a porno. Why is there three girls now instead of two? That's called a plot hole.
It's called a plot hole.
Plot hole.
Whoa.
Dude, so you just said in the Disney era, Rogue One's still the best thing by a long shot. And I agree with you. Like, full bore, I agree with you. What makes me bummed is, like, the other day Gia's like, I just want to watch Star Wars. I was like, whatever, you don't even know what you're watching. I'm just going to put on Episode 8 for no reason.
Yeah.
And I get pissed because the good parts of 8 are, like, some of the best Star Wars we have ever seen. It's just fucking dripping with Star Wars. But then it will cut back to some of the most bogus shit you've ever seen. And it's like,
yeah.
I can't.
It takes you so far out of it.
It takes you. I'm like, I'm not going to fast forward through all the stuff I don't like. I need a super cut of Episode 8 where it's all the good stuff. But it's like, if there were just a couple changes in Last Jedi, it probably would be my favorite of the era. But I would agree with you at this moment. Rogue One is definitely the best.
I don't think there was a point in Rogue One that... felt like that. I'm gonna butcher his name. Shyamalan.
I actually don't know how to say it either. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Shyamalan. I'm saying how they said it always.
I didn't feel like there was one of those points in Rogue One.
Like a twist?
I felt like.
Like an obnoxious twist,
was. They didn't trust each other, and no one in the fucking rebellion trusted each other. And they were having these councils, and hey, there's talk of this fucking demon death ball in space, and they still voted against it. And there was a fucking team that said, no, fuck that, we're going. And it dragged them up. It just felt natural, like a natural progression of human thoughts. Where in other Star Wars, they are writing human thoughts to fit the story that they've written. You know what I'm saying? It's
fabricated.
Yes. It's a fabricated emotion that you're supposed to try to feel, but it came from a storyline clearly that was written.
Which every story is fabricated by its definition.
Right.
But to make it so it's not obvious.
Yeah.
And again, that's another thing that Dune did fantastically. It's like you are immediately bought in and you're like, I'm in this universe. I'm with this family and I'm along for the ride without any questions. And in Star Wars, yeah, there are sometimes like, I kind of convince myself to buy in sometimes.
Yeah. And that's the bad thing. And
like with Boba Fett. Oh. I'm like, dude, I love the clones. I love Temuera Morrison. I love Boba Fett. And I have to like force myself to like engage with the entire show. You know what I mean?
It just feels, it doesn't feel authentic. And I think that's what's lost in a lot of the newer Marvel and a majority of the Disney stuff. And like you said, yeah, if you take pieces out, man, there's some phenomenal shit in the Disney era stuff. But yeah, when you're looking at full shows or something,
mm-hmm,
even Ahsoka, is still great. You're like,
Rogue One's good, Solo's good, yeah, Andor's good.
Seven's great.
Yeah. Yeah, Ahsoka is most, it only happened like
twice.
It only happened like once or twice.
Yeah.
The Sabine training stuff was like,
Sabine, just Sabine. Just fucking Sabine.
Pissed just about anti-Mandalorian her. Mopar what? Over here.
You know, I hate being that person.
I hate Sabine.
I hate being that person.
I hate them.
But like, the fact that she started training under Ahsoka was just like a, why?
Well, she had started at least very, very briefly in the cartoon. So it's not like it's brand new. It was jarring as fuck.
It feels like such a jump. It doesn't feel, I don't know. Like, even in the show, she didn't want to be trained. And then it just kind of like,
I agree, it was jarring. Yeah, it's fucking,
it just like, so you were trained, but you didn't want to be trained, but now you kind of want to be trained, but now that Ahsoka's training you, you don't want to be trained anymore, but now we should be training because it's written in the fucking story. What am I watching?
I actually said, I wish we had more training scenes, and you were like, you wanted more of that shit? That was horrible.
It was.
And I was like, no, I wanted it to be like structured where we had, how can you get the effect of a montage without having a cheesy montage? That's what I wanted. You know what I mean?
And this, okay, we're getting somewhere. So that's what I actually did like about that trailer, the Acolyte trailer.
Yeah.
Is that quote-unquote montage was that teacher walking in and out of these kids that were sitting, you know, cross-legged on the ground, and they literally had their eyes closed, and they were just thinking.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, that's a montage without being a montage. They're all learning about themselves with an instructor who's pointing things out. How do you feel? Cold, sir. Well, get a fucking blanket. I told you, Timmy.
A cup.
But there's those other ones that you're like digging into, and it's not opening the characters' minds at who he's talking to, but it's opening our minds. What goes through the mind of a Padawan, of an apprentice?
Yeah.
We actually get to see that. Anakin was such a special.
Oh, yeah.
A unique, like, it's a weird one that we almost
Chosen
already.
One doesn't really fit into the rules.
He doesn't fit into anything.
Yeah.
Like, you ask how Anakin's feeling. How does Jesus feel? That's how the fuck I feel.
Exactly, dude.
Because I can do whatever the fuck it's I like want.
Very positive, but really tired.
Yeah.
I think.
Tad cold.
Until Padme dies, then he's pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to come down to writing.
Yeah.
Because you can write a story, and it can be entertaining.
Well, it's not just writing.
But
yeah,
to be captivated is such another level that we...
Immersion.
Yeah. I haven't been captivated
by a Star Wars thing since Andor, really.
Well, Survivor. I'll say Survivor.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
I'm telling you right now, it felt different.
That's fair enough. For me, yeah, Andor was the last time where... So, like, there was a couple Star Wars shows that came out when my daughter was super, super young, back in the stage where, like, they don't do anything. They just lay there and, like, you have to feed him or whatever. Andor was one of those, and I was like, Andor comes out at, I think it was midnight Pacific when new episodes would come out. So that's 3 a.m. Eastern. I was up at 5:30 or 6 because I had to like prep to get my daughter up and everything. I was up a little bit early to watch the new episode of Andor every single week. And I was up extra early the first day because it released all three episodes, like the first three episodes all at once. So I watched those, and I was, like, religiously ready to go on schedule for that show. And I haven't done that for any other Star Wars show, I don't think. Mando Season 1, maybe I was.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of the launching point.
But that's telling. It's like, if I'm going to go to the midnight release at a theater, or if, like, I'm staying up until 3 or something to watch the thing as soon as it drops, that's the sign to me that I'm, like, I've been completely pulled into the universe, and I'm, like, all in. And, like, that just been happening less and less with Star Wars, unfortunately. And, like, last episode, you were talking about, you know, there haven't been movies since 2019. There's not, like, a big theater moment that we all get to, like, you know, rally around.
The hype train of Star Wars is
hard. That's hard. That's hard.
The hype train of Star Wars is almost 50% of it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, definitely.
Yeah. Going out, like, you and I are lucky enough we do this show, so we get to pick each other's brains. But it's always nice to have, like, 10 people and just throwing shit out there, because one or two of those people are going to say something that's really going to fuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be like, fuck, he's right. Maybe I should rewatch that. Or
Rose is great. Yeah. I should watch all of.
Just saying.
Yeah. That's a huge part of it.
Oh, man. OT still is relatively good.
They're all good, man.
I'm kidding. I did watch episode 5 not too long ago, and
they all have good in them.
You know where I came in was, they were on the Falcon in the worm, the space worm, mm-hmm. and it really did feel like a large lull. Because they're in the space worm.
Minox.
And there's a bunch of, like, probably sexual tension the when there's, yeah. He's bitching at 3PO again, and you're like, yeah. I don't know. Oh, when does he attaches the back to that Star Destroyer, and he said before they go to light speed, they'll drop their junk, and
we'll just float away. Yeah.
I got to that, and I was like, okay, he's being followed by Boba Fett, okay.
Why does that piss you off?
I just felt like there is a half hour in there that I'm like,
it lulls in the middle for sure. Yeah.
And maybe, yeah.
That's, again, I mean, we'll talk about this with Steve because I'm curious about him and his co-host thoughts on this. But one of my arguments has been like, Star Wars has fucking weird, goofy, dumb shit all over the place. And the only reason the prequels got hate is because of that 20-year gap.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about lulls, like episode 1 doesn't have a large lull. Like, you're so interested.
Some people.
I mean,
I'm just saying, some people are anti-interested.
It starts off with trade disputes. I get it. That's not a great start. But you are with two Jedi.
And they get bombed in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. They're trapped. They escape.
Destroyers.
They're trying to get in touch with Yoda and all them. They can't. They finally sneak away. They crash land on this fucking... And then they find this kid, and you're like, dude, there's shit happening.
Yeah. We're back on Tatooine. Pod race.
They put a pod race in there.
Yeah,
they said, let's just do Star Wars NASCAR. And everyone said, that's dumb. And then they watched it. They said, what the fuck was that? That was awesome.
Yeah.
They could tap into that stuff here and there. Mm-hmm. Just twist it and make it Star Wars. You know, in a Star Wars universe, they're going to be doing that shit.
Well, I think that's just to throw episode 8 back in there. I think that's kind of what Ryan was trying to do.
Oh, with Canto
Bight.
It's
like, we don't want laws. So, like, Rose and Finn have to figure this thing out. So, like, we're going to make Canto Bight, like, super exaggerated. And we have this huge horse chase and the casino and everything because they're trying to, like, keep the interest up. And just some of it just didn't land very well.
Yeah, the idea behind it. Yeah, I'm trying to walk back through horse racing with hoity-toity people.
Always the horse racing and the slave kids.
I'm just walking it back.
I know.
It's horse racing. What's associated with that? Hoity-toity people with money. Okay, yeah. What's associated with that?
Corruption.
Corruption, and who's actually running the show is, I mean, they're fucking slaves who are taking care of all these horses and stuff. And then you get to see that, like, class structure, but it was in such a ridiculous way. Like, I'm trying to compare the pod race.
It's because Rose had to say it.
We didn't see it.
It's because we saw, like, a shot of the rich people betting on the horses, but we had, like, Rose had to explain, like, all they care about is money. They don't support the resistance at all, whatever.
Yeah, like, that balcony scene where they're looking over and you're like, what the fuck?
We didn't get to see, like, a actual played out example of someone like in that aristocracy or whatever fucking over someone from the resistance to like kind of rally behind them and be like, yeah, man, those fucking corrupt rich bastards.
You know what would have been perfect? Would have been brutal. But if you had
murdered all the kids,
if yeah,
sorry, I missed my went for the soundboard and missed it.
In my head, I'm you walk into this casino. Finn's just like, holy shit, this is awesome. He comes across a guy who seems like he's fucking running the show.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to talk to him. It doesn't have to be a one-on-one with him and Finn. You just see him. Or you could show, like, Finn looking at him. Like, that's the dude. Like, that guy runs this shit.
Cool. Look,
he's so cool. He's got all this money.
Mr. T shit.
Then you do your little shit. You get caught. You get in trouble. And then you also come across that same dude in the fucking dungeon, like, whipping a kid.
Yeah.
For not doing what he was supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
And you immediately see...
Exactly.
All that glamour and all that shit that you were... And then you see that, and you're like...
That's who he is at the core,
but
and
then,
it fades away.
Then you take away that whole conversation, because you just saw it.
Right. And then he rallies to save the kids, and then that kind of evolves into, you know, going against the cops, and then going against the rich people, and then getting off planet.
It writes itself. I don't get why...
Dave. Call us, please, brother. We have ideas for you. Yeah, there is some things. I don't know. I mean, I've never made a film or even, I guess we made short films. That doesn't count. I never made anything like that. So I don't know what the fuck is happening while they're going through production that can cause things to just get rushed or cut or changed or whatever. But it did kind of feel like from that documentary that Ryan had a pretty good grip on the whole thing. So, yeah, maybe it was just... It was trying to throw in some kid-friendly stuff, and it just kind of got away from him.
I'm going to tell you what it was. Ryan was trying to make a name for himself instead of making a good movie. And I hate saying that.
Which is odd, because Knives Out is fucking awesome.
It is awesome. But he didn't create the launching point. He had episode 7 holding him down.
Yeah, true.
And I feel like he tried to just say, no, I'm going to be different. And I feel like that screwed him. And it honestly kind of...
Ended up screwing the whole sequel trilogy.
Yeah, but it's not even his fault. Because someone said, hey, you do one, and then we'll come back around.
Yeah, the whole...
And there's no rules. No, there should have been fucking rules.
I know. It bums me out because Snoke is one of my favorite characters. And the whole Snoke, big bad, Palpatine is back.
Somehow Palpatine returns.
Is like the biggest... It's like the biggest downfall of the sequel trilogy. It's like the major downfall is the fact that like we can't tell who the bad guy is. We didn't do any sort of groundwork to make the First Order seem evil. You just have to accept it. It's Empire 2.0. It was like, oh, yeah, Palpatine's back.
Let me throw a random theory that I just thought of out there. Because I think it could be muddy.
Please.
But I think there's potential there.
Yes.
So let's iron it out together. Episode 8, he kills Snoke still. He tries to take over... The First Order himself. Him and Hux are still at odds, but they figure it out because one can choke the other with the Force. But there's still a blue-eyed guy who doesn't quite see eye to eye with Captain Falco. Kylo. I lost his name for half a second.
Blue-eyed, or you mean blue-skinned?
Blue-eyed.
Okay.
The same blue-eyed fucker that we actually do see in 9, mm-hmm. who's not controlled by anyone but Palpatine.
Oh, yeah.
But he's controlled, and they find out that the Snoke that Kylo killed was a clone. Now we're already going down this clone, and there is an original-bodied Snoke
mm-hmm.
that's controlling all of it. I feel like that takes nothing away from... Palpy, because you know what you could do is when Palpatine died, he did have vials of his DNA or something left over. And not that they tried to clone him because they kept failing and failing and failing, but they like integrated him with another person and then just made 20 of them.
I don't know if that's 100% clear on what they did.
I don't know. But yeah, because we saw those jars of
Snokes
in...
And also the fact that his body's so decrepit, like almost... And they couldn't have rescued his original body, right? Not clear.
That's like I said, it was kind of a muddied theory, but I feel like I don't know, there's a lot of potential. Like you're killing...
There was a lot of potential.
Yeah, I hate to, you know...
It's just like they didn't... The whole Snoke thing, it's like they were so weary to touch on the new big bad in the shadow of like Palpatine and Vader. And they're like, didn't know exactly what to do and who's like the new evil person. And they just didn't quite know how to tackle it. And Snoke's like peppered in, and it's almost like maybe he's the bad guy. I don't know. We're going to figure it out later because we don't want to like, you know, put our flag in the ground and like commit to something. I think that's part of it. Whereas they just committed. It's like Snoke has taken over. Palpatine is dead. He's not coming back. They could have evolved that into something because as the whole sequel trilogy and even some of the stuff in the Mando starts to unfold, it's so fucking confusing where is he cloned? Did they rescue the original body? Is Snoke Palpatine or is Palpatine controlling Snoke? None of that fucking is clear. And even in like the Kylo Ren comic series.
Yep.
Like Snoke comes to be his mentor, but is that Palpatine as Snoke? Is it like the third body or the 27th body?
I don't know.
It's just fucking convoluted.
The cloning stuff, period, can be
which is
messy.
A bummer because the cloning idea is so cool.
It's a fun idea, but it's kind of like that time travel stuff. Once you go down the path, man, it gets slippery quick.
But with a bit of forethought, they could have tied it all the way back to episode 2.
Yeah.
It could, like Palpatine had to win this little miniature CIS war, but at the end of the day, he's prepping this technology as his own contingency plan to live forever. And like that's kind of implied. Like we meet the cloner with a Kamino badge in Mando.
Mm-hmm.
We see there's some Kamino ins and some cloning shit in Bad Batch.
Well, but then they blow
it's just
up.
Never explicitly stated.
Then they blow up Kamino, which is like,
yeah.
Hey, we figured enough shit out. We don't need any of this, and we don't want anybody else finding it.
Yeah, it's like hinted at, but it's not explicitly stated. Which in some cases is fine, but when that's the main villain, it's like just give it to us, man.
The potential I'll still say that they have is the Filoni. Well, where are we? Is there going to be a Mando movie?
There's a Mando and Grogu movie. There's what I'm calling episode 10, which is Rey and the New Jedi Order. And there's some sort of completion of Thrawn.
With Ahsoka and Mando Ezra? Together.
Like Ahsoka and the whole Rebels crew, yeah. Which originally I thought that and the Mando thing were going to be the same movie. I think they're two separate movies. From my understanding. Shinobi, please help.
Yeah. I mean, we're too far past everything, right?
What do you mean? Maybe
well,
you can
no,
just keep retconning stuff.
Well, I'm saying the Ahsoka show and Mando overlap greatly. Boba Fett's before that.
So I used to have a real good lockdown on all of the eras until post episode 7, and now it's been confusing the fuck out of me.
Yeah, they kind of jump around.
So Mando is in between 6 and 7. Ahsoka is in between 6 and 7.
Yeah. When's Boba Fett? Between 6 and 7.
Between 6 and 7 as well, yes.
So all three of them happened
prior to... Yeah, we need a name for that. I don't know what it's called. There probably is a name.
It's going to be the
not
Thrawn...
Not on Twitter anymore.
It's going to be the Thrawn era.
That's a whole other thing.
But they've...
It's a whole other fucking thing, dude. Like, you... 7 years into the project, you decide to bring back one of the most notorious villains in Star Wars Expanded Universe. Actually, the most notorious villain in the Star Wars Expanded Universe. You bring him back. But now you can't like fully commit to him being the giant, big, bad threat and presence because you've already done that and you have to like kind of weave him into storylines to make it work. Whereas if you had just come out from day one... Like, Thrawn is fucking up the galaxy, dude. It would have been a totally different thing.
You know what episode 9 Palpy does?
Somehow Palpatine returned.
Not a goddamn thing.
He's just waiting to be absorbed by someone so he can get a full body.
It's weird to me.
Shinobi, I was just asking you what the next 3 movies are. Because I thought the Mando and Grogu and the Ahsoka thing, they're two separate movies, I think. Or I thought they were the same movie.
Then there's a Rey one.
Yeah. The Rey one I definitely know about. There's a third, but clarify. Anyways,
no.
Keep going.
I forgot it. It doesn't okay. fucking matter,
it's okay, dude.
I
highly encourage you to watch the Fallout show. when you can.
Yeah. I assumed that I'm not joking. That trailer, that talking about being just full bore.
Yeah.
I like 30 seconds into that trailer, I was just holding on to something.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, they're doing it. They're doing everything right.
After we reviewed the trailer, I've never seen an adaptation that is so note for note.
Yeah, perfect. It's like start with something quirky and familiar and then twist it into something like the obvious conflict, mm-hmm. and then full switch. Murder, death. I mean, that's what it
the murder and death starts pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. No, it's fantastic. And it draws us through the same kind of storyline as the game, where you start and you get the little bit of prologue, but then you're in this vault and you don't know what's going on, and it feels like it's 1950, but it's actually like 2120.
Yeah.
And like, what the fuck is happening? So like, you follow the main character through all that stuff, through the vault, and they eventually get out or whatever. And yeah, it's like I said, it's taking you through if you were just playing the Fallout RPG.
I love it.
It's great. Yeah, it's fantastic. I'll wait to go into too much detail until you watch it, but I watched the first two episodes so far. It's great. They dropped it all at once, so the whole thing's out. You can just binge it if you want. I try to get... So my wife likes period pieces, loves like historic and classic stuff, and I was like, because it's so like 1940s and 50s, like maybe she'll like it. And within like 15 minutes, she's like, there's too much like guns and death and stuff. I can't watch it. Not like it's gross, but she's just like, she hates action movies and stuff. So she's like, yeah, it's just too much violence. I'm not into it.
But it doesn't feel, assuming it feels natural.
Natural if you played the game, yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. But then she heard some of the music and she was like, didn't you play this game like in college for like 1,000 hours?
That's what you're worried about right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as she heard some of that soundtrack, yeah. I was like, yep, we did. Sure did. So definitely do it when you can.
He's hacking, he's whacking, he's smacking. He's hacking, he's whacking. I still remember, and I remember in, I think it's Fallout 4, you come across a town that's really creepy. And all the people are super overly friendly. If you stick around and I think it's you wait until nighttime, there's another building you can go into and it's all body parts. And they corner you in there and try to like rape you.
Yeah.
What?
It's pretty fucked.
I remember most of that, yes.
Also the simulation shit when you get stuck in that like video game. Do you remember that part of the fourth one?
Yeah, where you're supposed to be like in a Beaver Cleaver kind of world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creepy. That's fun, creepy stuff. I love it. It's got just such a darkness to it that I don't know. I just feel.
If anyone could recommend something similar, and what I mean by similar is obviously not, you know, fucking nuclear Fallout 50 stuff, but the way that they randomly combined future stuff, retro tech, 1950s vibes.
Yeah.
It's like a very, very, very eclectic combination. So if there's any other like movies or games or books that are kind of like that, Dark Tower is kind of like that actually.
Yeah.
Stephen King got like fucking westerns, fantasy, sci-fi, and horror all wrapped into one.
Yeah.
Which actually they're supposed to be finally making that into a real series. I'm sure it's years off, but I heard that they're actually finally going to adapt that properly.
They'll never do it.
But anyways, yeah. It's not many things are like that.
Did you ever... This is a random jump. Did you ever watch the new Space Jam with LeBron?
Someone just asked me that like a day or two ago. I haven't yet, no.
I get the hate for it, but also I thought it was pretty like along the same lines as the first one.
The first one is one of those multiple movies that I've said have a huge nostalgic trigger for me.
Yeah.
And I go back and watch it and I'm like, this is bad. The first one's pretty bad.
Yeah. This one's pretty bad.
Power Rangers is like that. Fucking Mortal Kombat is like that.
Yeah.
It's not great.
I just think what I'll say is I think this will play the same chords that it the first one played for us. I'm a little out of touch with the social media aspect and, you know, the kid part of it. But it's like,
so you know, memes like TikTok references and stuff, probably.
Yeah, they just use a lot of technology into it. There's an algorithm that's played by Don Cheadle. It's a little forced into like futuristic stuff, but that's probably not far off of where we're at now.
Yeah. We're in some weird spots these days.
Yeah, that's my one disconnect. But the jokes are there. The ridiculousness of it's there.
Yeah.
Like, randomly, in the first one, Daffy Duck does, like, a fucking random, like, catwalk designer show. Like, it's like a 4 or 5 second thing.
Yeah.
In this one, Porky Pig does a rap, and everyone's like, dude, it's terrible. He raps. I'm like, did you not watch the first one?
Know.
They do the stupidest shit,
it's
too.
It's ironic, dude. It's supposed to be like that.
And I'm like, whatever. You're watching a fucking Warner Brothers. It doesn't matter.
People are pissed, man.
I hate people.
I do, too. For the most part. What do you think of the Joker trailer?
I'm hyped. And I do have the slightest reservation, but I'm still hyped.
The Joker trailer was a weird one for me where it's like, I didn't lose any steam for being excited about the film.
But it didn't gain.
But I also didn't gain any steam. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm glad. Like, it's a little check mark on the timeline. I'm glad this is still happening. It's like, you know, almost done. But I guess it's not a surprise, but there wasn't like any crazy reveal or huge story beats or Batman's going to show up. Like, there was nothing like that. And I think that makes sense for what Joker 1 was.
Yeah.
It's not hardcore tied into the rest of the DC stuff. It's its own thing. So I get it. But it didn't really excite me, if that's okay to say.
Yeah, I think we had such a huge ramp up for the first one.
Yeah.
And it was done so well in such a unique way.
And a ramp down, too. Jeez.
And I think that this one is starting off at that same peak. So we're still like riding high. I just don't think it's going to kick into that next gear like we've kind of felt with the first one, where we were kind of like baseline. We didn't really know what we were getting into. Then we watched it and we're like, dude, what the fuck was that?
Right.
I don't think we're going to have that same reaction because you can't. You've already had that.
Right.
But both of these movies are artistic movies. They're like almost done in such a way that you're like questioning what the fuck you just watched.
And your entire life.
It does. It like fucks with you. You're rooting for the bad guy who becomes a murderer, who starts riots, who starts all this. And you're like, there's psychological stuff. There's prescription drug stuff. There's depression stuff. There's poverty stuff. There's classism. There's so much just punching you in the head that's like real world problems.
Yeah. And a bit of Batman lore sprinkled in.
And just, just the slightest. Hey,
just
this
a hint.
This is a Bruce. See you later.
This is a Bruce. He's a kid. You probably traumatized him. Now he's Batman.
Good job. But I think there's still huge potential for this new one. And
there is. Like I said, I didn't lose any steam, so I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I just, how much more can Joaquin do? Probably not much.
I wouldn't underestimate that fucking savage.
You're not wrong.
He's out of control.
But I'm still going to say that's my reservation. I don't know how much more you can do because he went to such an extreme with that first one.
Yeah, it's like a band where their first album is such a fucking hit because they've been struggling and fucking thrashing and trying to figure things out and like almost, you know, they're out of money, they're dying, they finally get a deal, they pour all of their shit into like that first record, and then everyone's expecting like a massive follow-up and it just falls flat.
Or you make the same record in like, it just won't have the same splash.
But you know what, how superhero movies felt in 2019 when it came out is a bit of a attribution to why Joker was so good.
Yeah.
Because it was so different from like Infinity War and Spider-Man, whatever. So now that the superhero thing has died down a little bit, is it going to have the same kind of oomph, even if it's still an equally good movie?
Look, if I'm going to believe in artists, it's going to be Joaquin Phoenix and it's going to be Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the biggest music fan of hers, but I've seen her do a lot of stuff and she's done so well and she gets the art piece of it.
And I'm blanking on the director's name. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I don't know either.
But same with him, too. Todd Phillips, yeah.
I'm down. I'm for good. It, man. I'm ready. I'm excited. But I am in the same vein as you, where it's just like...
It didn't really...
I'm not any more or less excited.
Right. Yeah, it didn't bump me up. Yeah, whereas certain things in the past have, like, hyped me almost too much, unfortunately.
Yeah, overhyped.
So
yeah.
I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, and there was the slightest little cliche, like when she drew the smiley face, and then he like leaned into it. I'm like, it's fun artistically, it's fun, visually, but like yeah. Clearly that was made for the viewers. Mm-hmm. You know, you took that half step out.
Where yeah.
It's not two characters interacting. Now mm-hmm. It's two people playing parts for the viewer.
Or maybe it is. Once we see it in context.
Or maybe you're the... Maybe I'm the Joker.
You are.
Fuck! Not again.
That's why I'm scared of you.
Nice.
What?
Yeah. October.
You remember Fern Gully?
I do. It's not as good as you remember, just like everything from childhood.
It's all terrible, man.
It's pretty bad,
dude. Remember the toaster, the brave little toaster?
I don't. Remember we had talked about that? It was like... Wasn't that one of the early Pixar like test projects?
Oh, no. Is there?
Am I thinking of something else?
Brave Little Toaster was full anime or full animation.
Yeah, but I think it was Pixar's first thing.
Really?
I think so, yeah. I could be totally wrong. Ooh,
I don't think I knew that if that's true. Brave Little Toaster, Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah, because I remember you first had showed it to me and I was like, what in the ass is this? Let's see. Nope.
No, you made it.
Oh, wait, no, I'm right. Many Cal Arts, that's the California Art Institute, graduates, including the original members of Pixar, were involved in the film.
So it wasn't Pixar at the time.
Yeah, Pixar had not been formed, but like John Lasseter and some people that eventually did found Pixar worked on that. Yeah, I remember reading that in their thing. Also didn't know that George Lucas kind of like funded and was trying to start Pixar first.
What a savage.
And then I can't remember exactly why it didn't work out. And then Steve Jobs invested and took it over because he had gotten booted out of Apple. So Steve Jobs gets the recognition for like kind of launching Toy Story and Pixar. But I did not know until I read their biography or whatever that it was Lucas first. Makes total fucking sense, but I just didn't know that.
Savage. He just doesn't. He just did his own thing for so long. Once he got money, he's like, fuck everybody. We're going to make it this way. And you're like, Lucas said, you're fired.
Yeah. And at the same time, he was developing like LucasArts to get the video game stuff off the ground, too.
That was really a groundbreaking.
He did like, a lot.
When
man.
He started that LucasArts, and it spawned so many crazy things.
Yeah. He did a lot of shit.
He just had that vision, he just knew what it could be.
Most of the time, yeah. What?
All I'm going to say is. Disney, pick a person that has that vision, and just run and let them run with it. Don't question it halfway. Hey, take that. He's got to say that. Oh, it's got to end up.
Easter eggs.
You just took it all apart.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, pick like 14 people and let them all do that in their own different way. Yeah, they just need to let them run rampant, man. Filoni needs to do his thing.
Does it really feel that, like the 2003, 5, 7 era, did it really feel like the Wild West? Like, I know randoms were making Star Wars content, but it didn't feel like it was devaluing the movies.
No one was making movie or TV content aside from George.
But it was...
Maybe that's why. Everything everybody else was involved in was... Books or video games.
But books and video games were so... Maybe it was just stars aligning where video games were taking the fuck off, so Star Wars kind of rode that wave and then created new shit.
Yeah, there's weird moments like... People are probably sick of me talking about Marvel and shit. But like the ramp up to Infinity War and Endgame, you're never going to recreate that ever.
Yeah.
That is never going to happen again. even if Marvel makes, like, I'm very hopeful for Deadpool 3. I've been on a Marvel hiatus. I think that's going to reignite things for me. I hope it does. But even if it's great, it's still not going to be Infinity War and Endgame. And the lead up to it, that's its own thing, and it's never going to happen again. And I feel like the lead up to episode 3 was the same kind of vibe. Like,
well,
going into episode 3, KOTOR, Battlefront, all the expanded universe, like Bane books and everything.
Republic Commando,
like all that, its own era was just, it was just huge. Massive. Bloody massive, man.
But you know what was great about that era is every little thing supported each other in such a weird, it wasn't even like in a collective way. It's just, hey, I want to learn about the clones. Fucking Republic Commando and clone novels. What the fuck else do you want? Luke, fucking heir to the Empire, or you want a Legacy of the Force or whatever the Legacy series?
Yep.
What else do you want? Well, fuck all that. Let me go back. Well, I got Bane, you got Revan, you got KOTOR. What the fuck do you want?
Yeah.
Speak to me. Now it's just like, you guys want to hear about the Rebels?
Empire again? Rebels and Empire?
You guys want to hear about the Rebels?
Oh, but you haven't heard from this point of view.
Here's another guy. He doesn't start as a Rebel.
But he is a Rebel.
He might not become one, but he does.
He is at heart, though.
What?
Oh, here's a bad girl.
Yeah,
she's a rebel.
I don't know. It's not just Star Wars either. I mean, you could make this argument about a bunch of different properties. Like,
you're right, yeah. You're right.
When they get too solvent, I guess is the right word. So, like, I'm excited for the House of Dragons season 2. That's coming up. But I heard the intended Jon Snow sequel spinoff series got canceled. But there is some other Game of Thrones spinoff happening too, aside from House of the Dragon. I can't recall exactly what the plotline is.
But this is the same. It's the same thing. House of the Dragon. How good can it actually be? We've already got.
It's really good.
You're right. But I guess I'm.
It's not diluted. I guess is what I'm saying.
I'm questioning your nothing will ever be Endgame. Well, with that attitude, nothing will ever be
Oh,
ended.
No, I just mean, like, Marvel's not going to live up to that moment again.
They could.
Like, Star Wars might not live up to the 2005 ramp.
They could.
Maybe.
They
it's
could.
It's going to be really hard.
They could.
It's going to be
with
really
the
hard.
Right, with the right stories, with the time, with the build, you can get there.
Like,
and I think the potential here is for Marvel especially, is Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Thanos was great. Everything he was a part of was great. I'm not the biggest Thanos fan. See, it's almost the same way in a negative effect, an opposite effect, with Thrawn. I was never a big Thrawn fan. You put him on fucking screen, I'm watching.
Well, they did it well.
Which is a crazy thing because I'm not a big Thrawn fan. But everything around Thrawn and how he controls it is so fascinating to me.
But it's not it's not Thanos specifically. It's that Marvel was, in terms of major cinematic films, had started scrappy. No one believed that Iron Man was going to be successful because no one heard of him. It's not Spider-Man or Batman, whatever. And it ended up being one of the biggest moments in film history. And you have the culmination of Iron Man and Captain America, the rest of the Avengers, Thanos is coming into his own, Spider-Man's rolled in. It's like it's not just the film itself. It's like all of like the pop culture and the vibe surrounding it is kind of what I'm getting at.
As
good as House of the Dragon can be, and I hope it is because I loved season 1, it's not going to be as big of an event as like season 5 and 6 and 7 of Game of Thrones.
It could be.
It might be better technically, but
impactful.
It's not going to be as big of like a cultural moment is kind of what I'm saying. Yes.
What Marvel had. See, the crazy thing is, outside of them running with Iron Man, they really didn't take too many large risks. They told the stories of each hero, all the shit, used building blocks that were already set up.
But that hadn't really been done.
You say Spider-Man, you already know.
But that hadn't really been done.
You say Spider-Man, we already know who the fuck Spider-Man is. We already know where he's going.
But they didn't do Spider-Man first.
I'm just saying, when you talk about Star Wars, Poe Dameron, and you're like, who the fuck? What is a Poe? What are you talking about? And they used 15 minutes of screen time to create a building block around Poe.
Yeah. That one they did good.
But he was supposed to be killed off. That's the crazy thing.
I know.
They fucked it up and still made it work, which is by accident. It's
good character. Good director.
All I'm saying is Marvel had the luxury of using already created people and all these stories. Now, they might have tweaked it here and there, but there wasn't major risks. They just did it right, one at a time, well, or four at a time, and just did their due diligence. And then when they had them all, let's get them all together the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's create tensions amongst them internally, which they probably already did. And this is me. I don't know the comics. They probably already had written in a lot of the comics.
Civil War was the whole comic storyline.
Thank you. Yeah, I read it. I forgot.
And I didn't. Here we are.
But they just had it. But that's what Star Wars and Disney needs to do. They haven't really... And I think that might be, in a weird way, why I like Rogue One. Because even though I know the situation, I don't know any of these people. We started off with nobodies, killing nobodies, about something I don't know anything about.
It's the same thing that we have already said. They decided to start rolling in Legends and Expanded Universe material in their own new canon way. For whatever reason, they decided to do that, whether they wanted to at first and they just, you know, waited a couple years, or if they saw fan reactions and they started kind of backpedaling and pulling in the Expanded Universe stuff to make people happy. Regardless, they ended up doing it. So if they had just started with that from day one, they would have been riding kind of that Marvel structure, like you're saying.
They just stepped on their own toes. They gave in too quickly and too often to fan...
Maybe.
Bullshit.
We don't know if they did give in, really. I don't know.
They did. Have you watched Star Wars? Everything was fan service. The whole
certain things are a lot of fan service, and other things are not.
They just did it too much too often. We've talked about it. It ruined entire series.
They didn't do it enough.
I'm not going to... No, it's impossible. You didn't give me a reason to watch. The Obi-Wan series was... fun, but that's where it fucking ends.
Well, that's kind of what I mean.
It's not interesting to me.
They had just come out and been like, here's the new Star Wars movie. The main character is Jason Solo. He's going to turn evil. Like, if they had just taken the fucking thing that already existed, morphed it a little bit, they would have copied the same structure that Marvel did.
I mean, I agree. In a certain way, I know what they were scared of is like, well, you're just taking old stories and it's like, yeah, but look what we did with it.
I know.
No one says that about Marvel.
Comic fucks probably do.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not a comic fuck. So
but look at what it became. And it was like, dude, the stuff was already there. You're right. It was all right there.
Yeah, you're just adapting it to a new medium format, whatever. Like Dylan Villeneuve, whatever, did with Dune. Adapted it to film. I heard there's a 1984 Dune, which is wacky as fuck.
Yeah, I heard that same thing.
I haven't seen it. No, Doom is great. Yeah, I don't know, man. Fucking Star Wars.
I want to watch that.
I guess.
Animated Lord of the Rings.
I still do want to watch that. We should do commentary to that.
Gandalf, like, spooks one of the hobbits or something. I always see that, like, gif or that little short.
I haven't seen that, no.
He, like, he's talking to, like, Frodo, and, like, I think there's two of them. It must be him and
Samwise.
But he's, like, talking to him, and he's like, all right, guys, we got to go this way. And they're like, okay. And he turns away and then, like, spooks him. I think it's this one.
That?
No. He, like, I think it's that one.
Walking through the Shire, dude.
Oh! Yeah! I love it. Samwise, you little bitch.
That's funny as fuck.
That's the craziest, funniest thing I've ever seen.
Until I saw some memes, I didn't know that there was a... pre Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings anything. I didn't know.
I would pay money to see it.
We should pay money to see that.
It's free.
So Phantom Menace, we talked about a little bit. That's coming back to theaters for May 4th for the 25th anniversary. Hope you guys are going to go see it. We're going to go see it. We're going to talk to Steve on Revenge of the 90s about Phantom Menace later tonight.
Yeah.
And that'll be out, I think, Friday. So check that out. Subscribe to them if you can. If you can't, I understand. Send them pizza rolls in the mail. What should nobody have to say? Sorry, we should probably read the chat. Doesn't matter how Disney does it, people will complain. A large number of people will just not be happy no matter what. Yeah, that's, you're definitely going to deal with that no matter what. Like people that were, you know, reading the Infinity War comic series note for note, I'm sure were pissed about how the movie came together.
Right.
But you gotta have to piss someone off eventually, so you might as well just make the best thing you can make.
He says, I guarantee you put Mopar in charge, there will be people outside with pitchforks.
There's already people outside with pitchforks.
Yeah. I'll just make fun of them as they're pitchforking.
Exactly.
Each
dude.
Other.
What?
Oh, guys. So...
did we even talk?
We've been talking the whole time.
Oh, I forgot.
We've been talking about what?
There was another trailer, I thought.
There was a trailer for a Marvel game that I kind of want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
We can do that next time.
We'll do it next time.
We're out of time. Oh.